lesson 26 in the book of Ephesians, and we left off last lesson on how this mystery program was not made known. Ephesians chapter 3, verse is 8 and 9. And to me, who am less than least of all the saints, is this grace given, that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ, and to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the world hath been hid in God, who created all things by Jesus Christ, to intent that now unto the principalities and powers in heavenly places might be known by the church the manifold wisdom of God, according to the eternal purpose which he purposed in Christ Jesus for our Lord. And to me, whom least in all saints, if you think about this, notice that the fellowship of the mystery has been hid from what? The beginning of the world has not, that's what it says. And there's another good verse that demonstrates that the mystery has not been made known, as some people may say it is. They confuse the Bible altogether, and they want to make everything known in the Bible, which we do have all the knowledge of God, by the way, in a book, and we can know his wisdom. But it did not say it was hidden scriptures, though, did it? It was hidden who? Verse 8 and 9. Hidden who? Hidden God. And that's very, very important to know. And that it's just that it was hidden him. Some of the new Bibles out there will take that word, dispensation of the mystery, and make it, see that fellowship of the mystery that says in verse 9? Mm-hmm. And they'll make it say dispensation of the mystery instead of the fellowship of the mystery. Well, the term dispensation of mystery, don't fear from that. That is a good word, isn't it? But and it's a legit term. But you don't need to change Ephesians 3:9 to get it. Because hold your finger there and go to Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1, verse 25. Wherefore, I am made a minister according to the dispensation of God, which is given to me for you to fulfill the word of God. Now, what is that dispensation of God? Look at verse 26. Even the mystery which have been hid from ages and from generations. You see that? That's what the dispensation is committed to Paul. It is the mystery. And so that's a legit term when you think about the dispensation of mystery. But you'll find that in your Bible in Colossians 1, 25 and 26. That's where it's at. And so, you know, so when you go back to Ephesians chapter 3 and it talks about the fellowship, we're not going to put the English back into Greek and Greek back into English. The fellowship is a communion, a partnership, and the things that we share together and share in common. That's why we come together corporately. We're coming together to fellowship one another. This morning we talked about grandchildren and different things of our own children's life. We're fellowshipping. We're getting to know each other. That's why I like when I ask for prayer requests. I want to know what's going on in your mind and you know something else in your life. And you should know what's going on with us. So we're fellowshipping, communing together. And Paul is saying that he wants to make all men see what is the fellowship of the what? Mystery. That's the dispensation truth, the doctrine that is revealed to Paul. But the fellowship of the mystery is the living demonstration of those in the body of Christ. It's not just the mystery, dispensation of the mystery. It's the fellowship. And the fellowship of the mystery is the fellow heirs that we talked about, of the same body and partakers of his promise in Christ. And they are fellow participants together, like in Ephesians chapter 6. Now, a living demonstration of the truth of the body of Christ. That's what the fellowship is. Are you not living here today? Aren't you alive and breathing and well? So it's a demonstration of who you are together right now for the body of Christ. And, you know, after you leave here, it's not necessarily here. The living demonstration of the body of truth that's put on display, and that demonstration is in verse 11. According to the eternal purpose which he purposed in Christ Jesus, our what? Our Lord. The idea of being that the body of Christ places the eternal purpose of God on a living display. It demonstrates the body of Christ. Now, we recently witnessed something in the Cleveland area that was put on display that never happened since what? 52 years. And many of us was mesmerized with that a whole parade. And it took hours and hours and hours and hours just to go, what, a mile and a half to 2 miles. And as people demonstrated who they was putting up there, and when that team got on that stage, the language that came out of them, their leader, it wasn't too appreciative, was it? And many of us had lost,
interest
of who he was. It didn't negate what he did, but the language. So that was a living demonstration of that person portrayed for the whole world to see. So we, the body of Christ, I'm not picking on them. I'm just saying, I think about those things. But we, as the members of the body of Christ, also is demonstrated that we're a part of the body of Christ. And Paul says, I want to make all men see the eternal purpose of God demonstrated, manifested in the human flesh in the body of Christ. We're all humans. We're all members of particular. If you're saved today, you're members of who? The body of Christ. And that is put on display throughout the universe. And we'll see that shortly. He's saying, I want them to see the fellowship, what we share together, the living demonstration of the body. Many of us only see each other once a week. And when we do, I rejoice in the fact, I want to hear how your week's going and all. We can call each other, we can text each other, we can email each other. But this is something very, very special. He says, I want people to see. And you know what that is? What is a sense of understanding? That's what he's saying. I want people to understand. You ever talk to somebody and they'll show you something and you go, I see that. What are you actually saying?
I understand that.
I understand that. You are not talking about looking at something. You're talking about the concept that you understand something. That old saying, I see, said the blind man. Now, how's the blind man going to see? But he can hear and understand what you're talking about, right? That type of thing. We use the word all the time, and that's the issue in the verse. He wants all men to see the fellowship of the mystery. Understanding. That's hard for a lot of us. That's hard for the people that we want to share this truth to. They don't want to understand, or they can't understand. And that's sad, isn't it? In order to see someone to see something, you know what you have to do if they're in darkness? You show them, or you what? Flip the light on. You flip the switch on. So when you preach and teach this truth to them, in the power of the Holy Spirit, that's how it gets to them. We was talking about God's consciousness and how people's conscience today, everybody has a conscience in them that they can know who God is. And when you can witness God out there and see God out there, even the invisible things, it points to the Godhead, and the part of that Godhead is Jesus Christ. So you can know that there's not only a God, but there's the Son, Jesus Christ, in creation. So every one of us has got a conscience in us that it hones in on that if you're willing to hear it. But what people do is they put that light out. They dampen it down in their spirit. The purpose that he wants them to see the fellowship of the mystery is in verse 10. What does this say? To the intent that what? Now, he's saying, here's the reason. Paul's purpose is to make all men see the fellowship of the mystery. It is not just that they understood bodily truths, if you will, but the truth that takes root in their lives and lives and bear fruits. And that demonstrates not just the truth, but the fellowship. You and I know right now we could sit home for the rest of our lives and be saved, not worry about going to hell, can't we? You know? But what about the fruits that you're bearing there and the fruits that you're bearing here? That living demonstration. Say, yes, I'm alive in Christ. And He did this for me, and I want to share this for everybody. To everybody. They really have to understand those things, and the truth takes root in their lives. And that's where it establishes it. We share all the time. People can understand or see the grace message. But how many of us has allowed that grace message to get us and make a difference in our lives? And that's where it takes root, if I can say that. Ephesians 3:10 says, to the intent that now, in the dispensation of grace, not in the dispensation of promise, not in the dispensation of law, not in the dispensation of kingdom, not even in the dispensation of the fullness of time, but now, in the dispensation of grace, and to the principalities and powers in heavenly places, might be known by the church the manifold wisdom of who? God. The idea is that there is a demonstration of the wisdom of God to who? The principalities and powers, and where at? In heaven. By who? By the church. You are the power and the wisdom of God that's being demonstrated out there in the heavenly places. I don't know how y'all feel about that. But when I drive a truck sometimes, I demonstrate the power of that truck over the highways. I know there's some entertainers in here. And when you got up on that stage, you demonstrated what? The power and the wisdom and knowledge that you had, and you're portraying it out there in the crowds. You know what I'm talking about? So you right now, whether you realize it or not, are made the wisdom of God. And God's wisdom is placed on display before the principality and powers in heavenly places as they see the fellowship of the mystery in action. That's awesome, guys. To me, you think of this little group here as a put on display. You're members of the body of Christ. Now, there's several things you need to notice here. Number one is the body of Christ has an impact where? In not so much here on earth, but where? In heavenly places. You know what Ephesians chapter 6 verse 12 says? For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. You know what they don't like? They don't like this fellowship of mystery. They don't like this mystery program. And you have an impact up there, and there are spiritual wickednesses in high places. There are principalities and powers in heavenly places up there, and they don't appreciate yours and my ministry. They don't like that, guys. So we're wrestling with who? Each other? We wrestle not with flesh and blood. Can we wrestle with flesh and blood? Yeah. Many of us are married, aren't we? We know what it means, don't we, ladies? To wrestle with flesh and blood. You carry a bowling pin in one hand and a frying pan in another. Guys carry a pitchfork and a shovel. I'll bury you. No, just joking. But anyway, do you know what they are? They oppose it. They don't like this message, guys. And you find yourself in hand-to-hand combat. That's wrestling. Not shooting across the river with each other. Not throwing stones across the fence. But you're actually in hand-to-hand combat against that opposition. The wiles of the devil and their trickeries are constantly against you. I tell people all the time when they first get saved, it's a great thing to know that you're saved and you cross from death to life. Praise God, hallelujah. But when you start rightly dividing the word of truth, and when you start the Bible issue and the gospel issue and even the grace life issues, there's a battle out there that's going to come against every one of us. None of us is immune to it. It's going to attack every one of us. Every one of us. It'll attack you through your children. It'll attack you through your spouse. It'll attack you through your grandchildren. It'll attack you to the neighbors. It won't attack your vehicles, that type of thing, or tree falling on you and all that stuff. That's just nature and electronics. But it's interesting in Ephesians chapter 3, verse 10, that the principalities and powers observe the body of Christ. They observe you and I, and they are instructed by you. Now imagine that. You're being taught the Word of God rightly divided. You're being instructed out of the Word of God, right? But you know that you instruct other people? Here's some verses we can look at. Hold your finger there and go to 1 Corinthians chapter 4. 1 Corinthians chapter 4. Verse 9. For I think that God hath set forth us the apostles last, as it were appointed to death, for we are made a spectator, was a spectacle, unto the world and to the angels and to who? Amen. Look at chapter 11, verse 10. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 10. For this cause ought the woman to have power on her head because of the what? Angels. There's people looking at you, women. There's people looking at you, men. Go to 1 Timothy chapter 5. 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 21. 5, verse 21. I charge thee before God and the Lord Jesus Christ and the elect angels that thou observe the things without preferring one before another, doing nothing by partiality. There's election of angels up there. There's principalities and powers up there. There's wickednesses up there are watching you and I. And guess what we're doing? We're instructing them. Not only when we meet here corporately every Sunday, but in our own lives when we do things, right? I'm just as guilty out there. I was eating hot dogs last night over in Canfield, Ohio. You know, the big car show and just, you know, looking at things and all that stuff. You know, I wasn't worshiping them, but yet the angels was watching me what I was doing. I'm sorry, but I'm not immune. They watch every one of us. But when you get in this battle and you think about Ephesians chapter 3, where we're at, verse 10, the principalities and the powers, the angels observe the body of Christ. And in Ephesians chapter 3, verse 10, they are instructed. They are taught about the manifold wisdom of God according to the eternal purpose, which the purpose in Christ Jesus our Lord. We're at in the history of God's creation from the beginning. Had there ever been a time where God is not working no longer through the nation Israel and giving them the oracles of law, giving them the sacrifices, they built temples, and no longer doing that, where in the history of the Bible, in the history of God's plan for the universe, have there ever been a time where God is taking a body of believers, which Christ is the head, and he's putting people in there to fulfill the heavenly purpose? Never has there been a time to win. Right now. So you think about God's creation up there when he created all the angelic hosts and all everything in there, and they saw God's plan for the ages, and it got corrupted, and now he's taken that body of Christ that was not made known, and they're looking at people like that, looking at the body of Christ like, wow, that's what grace is all about. Wow, the wisdom of God is manifested in these guys down there. You know? It could be jealousy, but here's what I look at too. Those angelic hosts up there that followed Satan, we may look at that in a few minutes, and the ones that didn't, they still see what's going on today. Mm-hmm. They're still up there. You know what I mean? I've worked with unsaved people, and you have too. I've worked with saved people, and you have too. You still work together, don't you? You still go to grocery shopping together or grocery store and all. But the manifold wisdom of God is out there, and they see the fellowship of the mystery. And they see body truths working in the body, and that teaches them that about God's eternal purpose out there. what he's going to do with the body of Christ versus what he's doing with the nation Israel. If you go back, where are you, Ephesians 3? Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 9 and 10. Having made known unto us the mystery of his will according to his good pleasure, which he had purposed in himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of time he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in who? In him. He gathers together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth. I had one guy tell me one time he thought that was the body of Christ, the ones that's already died and gone in heaven, and the ones that still here on earth. But that's not God's eternal purpose. God's eternal purpose is take the heavens, the peoples in the heavens, which will be our body of Christ, and the people on earth, which will be the nation Israel and the kingdom saints, and give them back to who? Jesus Christ. He's going to be ahead of all of it. And that is the purpose that God the Father purposed in himself before the foundations of the world. You know, I think, and I don't want to sound arrogant or anything, but you know, you're special. You know that? You're a special people that was God, that was never thought of in times past. You know, many people call me special Ed, you know. But I'm just thinking about some things about how special you are, that you're a part of a body, a member, a body of Christ that was not made known. And you know, you can take that and beef yourself up and run with it. But you don't want to, because that's part of God's plan. And it was before the foundation of the world. And God's purpose is to establish that a universe. And his objective was to populate the universe and populate the universe with a perfect creation made in his own image, which would worship and own him as their sovereignty. In other words, a willing choosing to own him. You know, God, here's something to think about. He set up the purpose to demonstrate his worthiness to rule and to fill that universe. And to fill up that universe with a people made in his image. His purpose was to demonstrate how worthy he was, worthy of all creation made of his image, and he was worthy of the pre-worship and subject to the creation. He sets up creation and thereupon was challenged by who? Who?
Satan.
Yes, sir, Lucifer. And you know the story about Lucifer's rebellion. He goes out amongst the heavenly hosts and persuades the upper echelons. That's what he's talking about. He just didn't go down here to little old Menzel private down here. He went to the head people that was over the armies and over the angelic host. And he goes to them, the principalities and powers. And they go to him and they rebel against God. And there is a tremendous rebellion and angelic conflicts established there. The Bible talks about, in Revelation, talks about one-third of the angelic beings followed Satan. You know, that's quite a bit, isn't it? That means two-thirds didn't. Mm-hmm. But one-third, there's a big void that's going to be up there. It's going to take place when they're cast to the earth, their final resting place, and they're being judged out here in a battle, and then they're going to be cast out in the lake of fire, which will be there. But God stops the rebellion. He creates hell in which to destroy the devil and his angels. But he didn't destroy them immediately, did he? Did he?
No.
He did not. And if you think about it, the reason he didn't destroy them immediately is quite simple. It's because of the rest of creation. How would they ever know for sure that Satan's challenge against God's authority wasn't justified if he just took them and cast them in the lake of fire forever? Don't you open your mouth again. You know, how would they know? How would they know that you set up an authority and someone comes along and challenges you? Does that make it right just because you can kick them and knock them down? You know better about it. A ruler can do that. A king can do that, can't he? But think about this for a minute. How would the rest of creation ever be sure that the challenge did not have the merit to, and that God, rather than Satan, deserved to rule the universe? You ever think about that? Many of us got brothers and sisters, right? You ever see one of your brothers and sisters got by with something you didn't? Well, that's not fair. Well, you did this. Guilty. Go to your room. That type of thing. How do you know that your brother's sister was not justified by doing the same thing? She just didn't get caught. But look, think about this. God sets up a situation whereby his own worthiness could be demonstrated. He sets a situation up whereby the rebellious Satan and his group can demonstrate their ability, which they have, and they continue to do, and he can demonstrate his ability. And a choice can be logical, be made, then can't it? In other words, Satan set himself up, I want to be like Most High God, and he rebelled against God, and he took 1/3 of the angelic angels, and the prince of power of the air, he owns the universe, he owns the first and second heaven, he's also the God of this world. He has set up his authority in the universe. But you have God that has his authority set up. We know God's in the third heaven. He's going to be over heaven and earth. That's what the Bible says. But you got a choice there, don't you? The angelic beings had a choice. And we call that the angelic conflict. And the challenge to God's authority and the result in the plan in which God allows to set up a situation where Satan's ability can be demonstrated, God's ability can be demonstrated. That's free will, guys. That's a choice that everybody makes. And you can demonstrate it as an unreasonable ruler or king, but rather he demonstrates as a worthy sovereign king and ruler. That demonstrates have been accomplished. And today in the body of Christ is demonstrating God's wisdom and its victory. Colossians 2:15 says Christ triumphed over them, over the principalities and powers and the cross. That's where he done it at. You don't have to think he didn't. The Bible says that. The Word of God says that. And the demonstration today has been accomplished and God's wisdom has been exalted. People may not see it out there. People may not understand it, but it's been exalted through the body of Christ. And that's how it remains now in the execution plan to be completed. And the reason that it hasn't been accomplished is that God is forming the body of Christ. Has the body of Christ been completed yet? You know, at any time, a lot of people don't believe this, as it was an intimate return.
Intimate.
Yeah, amen. A lot of people don't believe that. You know, do you make plans to go to work tomorrow? But I still lay down my head thinking God can come at any time. That don't stop me from planning tomorrow. See, a lot of people says, well, you can't plan tomorrow if you know he's coming back. Well, I don't know when he's coming back, other than I believe that the last member of the body of Christ, when God completes that, we're out of here. You know, and that could be at any time. But I'm telling you something, and this might be a shock to some, everybody think they're going to heaven. It's not going to heaven. You think about this. You think about the works program and salvation. They're working to get there. They're paying. They've been good people. But my Bible says that adds up to nothing. You know what I mean? So maybe that's why it's taken so long to fulfill that 1/3 angelic being. Now, that's just me talking. But I'm thinking, man, it's taking a long time. But the longer, every day that a day of grace comes, the prophecy program is being postponed. It's not being, you know what I'm saying? And when we're taken out of here, that takes place. But think about this a minute. As soon as it is over, the thing will get on the road, if you will. What is 1 Corinthians chapter 2? We looked at this before, but go again. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. First Corinthians chapter 2, verse 6. Howbeit we speak wisdom among them that are perfect, yet not the wisdom of this world, nor the princes of this world that come to naught. You see, the princes of this world have wisdom. Do they not? They have a wise plan, but it comes to what? Nothing. Zero. And there is that plan of Satan, the wisdom of this world, and that human viewpoint. And then there's wisdom of the princes of this world, and that is the satanic policy of evil that started back there in Isaiah 14, I will, I will, I will, the five I wills. But God has brought all that to what? Nothing. Nothing. Verse 7, but we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world unto our glory, which none of the princes of this world knew, for had they known it, they would not have crucified the what? Lord. The Lord of glory. Turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Verse 19, for the wisdom of this world is foolishness with God. For it is written, he taketh the wise in their own what? They thought they had it figured out, guys. But what happened? It backfired on them, didn't it? That's why you said in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 8, says, which none of the princes of this world knew, for if they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. Satan reached his climax in his career of deception here. He started back developing the wise plan and going on among the angelic host. That's where he started. And they're deceiving them to thinking he had a wise plan to overthrow God and had his merit. But he reached the climax, the apex of that career of deception when he deceived himself. Man, God's wise. Only God could do that. You know that? We might be able to trick each other in games and, you know, hit, you know, what is that stuff, magic stuff or yeah, sleight of hand and you know, throw me a page in there that's not supposed to be there or change a word around. I have to think a little bit, all that stuff. We can trick each other, but you're not going to out-trick God. And God allowed Satan to go ahead, do it. That's, to me, that's awesome. You know what? We're part of that. Because it's the wisdom of God that was accomplished it. Because God kept the realm of knowledge and information. And he kept it secret that Satan could, you know, that caused Satan to do the very things that he was going to do. Resort and his undoing, in other words, what I'm trying to say. And the wisdom, that wisdom is the wisdom that we're making known today. Man, Satan hates this. You know who else hates it? Human flesh. Human viewpoint hates this. Hates it. You know, and you know, we was talking about God today and how we talked about God, and when you go over and ask somebody, do they know the Lord Jesus Christ? And they say, well, I never heard of him. You know, who is this? And you're scratching your head. How in the world can you not know who Jesus Christ is? And then you have to guess what you have to do. You have to back up a little bit, don't you? Well, maybe he don't know or she knows. And then what do? You take them to, well, do you ever heard of God? And there's a lot of gods out there, aren't they? Yeah, a lot of gods. And you have to go back to, well, were you still in 1 Corinthians chapter 2? Real quick, and we'll get very close. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Verses 9 and 10. But as it is written, I have not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that what? Loved him. But God had revealed them unto us by how? The Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, yea, the deep things of who? God. You got it. You can have it. You don't have to skim the top, get skim milk off of it. Drink the whole milk, cream and all. And when you understand why Satan doesn't appreciate this mystery truth, can you understand why he doesn't want people talking about the distinct mystery and the message? The reason is because it's the very things that showed him out to be a fool, an unworthy one that he really is. God's planned that, and he kept it in himself. And you know what? You and I can take that and help somebody, can't we? If you think about it. You think the people out there that's really struggling who God is, or fighting God, or don't even know who he is. And you know something? I got to watch how I talk about God, because you know there's people out there that praises Allah. And there's people out there that changes Allah to God. And when you do that, you automatically think, well, they're probably worshiping the same God I do. Don't fall for that, guys. Don't fall for that. Asia has gods. Egyptians had gods. Greeks had gods. Romans have gods. We have gods. But there's only one God, the Creator, that created everything. And I can't help thinking about those 10 gods. You know those 10 plagues in Egypt? Remember down there? You know, the first three affected everybody. Israel too. But the last seven didn't. But those 10 plagues represents the 10 gods that Egypt worshipped. And God the Creator put them all down, each one of them at a time. And if that would not wake somebody up, which it did, because millions left Egypt, didn't they? And it just wasn't Israel that left Egypt. It was anybody that wanted to leave left. And they were strangers in the lands following Israel. Israel had the light. And they was going through that dark land. And the other nations, that other people came out of that, was following that light. But they hindered Israel. Israel's supposed to have been separated. They learned later they're supposed to be separated. They're not supposed to be over here jumping. Every time they jump over here, back over here, it caused problems, didn't it? In your life today, even though you're saved, you can still have problems. And it's going to come at you spiritually. It can come at you physically. And I just encourage you to remain who you are in Christ and continue to study. And Father, we ask for the day. We ask for the things you've given us freely in your Son, Jesus Christ. In his name we pray. Amen.